And he did. He got it to her. But, you know, he said later, he just did it because he loved his family. He loved his wife. He loved his kids. It wasn't a thing of, oh, this may be my last words to him. He didn't do it for that reason. It was just a thing that he did because it seemed like the right thing to do, because he loved them as much as he did. And, you know, it turned out that an indiscreet man, because of that note, he's known quite a bit over the country now because of just a note he wrote. I love my wife, I love my kids. You know, there's someone else that wrote their love message to us in his blood, and that's Jesus Christ. He wrote his message to us in his own blood. And that's what I want to share with you. I want to share with you how that blood that he shed, what it should mean to us. You know, we don't. Maybe I should say I don't, and if you're included in it, fine. I don't do what I should do for my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is such a marvelous, wonderful God and loves me so much. But you know, this gift, it's a bloody gift and it's a sacrificial gift that God gave us. First off, I want to share it this way. For Valentine's Day pictures love, and Jesus' blood pictures love. His blood is a picture of God's love. He said in Luke 22:20, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." He shed it only for one reason. You know, I don't think Jesus looked forward to dying on the cross. However, he knew that that was the only way that we could enter heaven, was by him doing it. And he completed his trip. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to be here in your house today. Bless us, Lord, as we think about Valentine's Day, as we think about love, as we think about you and what you did for us. And Lord, as we think about your love for us, and Lord, you taught us how to love because you first loved us. You taught us how to love you. You taught us how to love our family. You taught us how to love fellow Christians. Lord, help us to put that to use and be better servants for you. Father, help this day of worship to give honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jesus took the cup and said to them, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood." Earlier he had said in John 20:54-56, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." It's the blood of Jesus Christ that did everything for me. That's why, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Let's look at the, you know, Christ's death and the blood that he shed. He looked at that, you know, sometimes when, to be honest with you, sometimes when I'm trying to prepare a Sunday school lesson or a message, I have difficulty finding the right word that I want to use. And this one here, listen to what I have to say and then help me if you come up with a better word. His death shows us love's responsibility or duty. Now, I didn't like either of those words, and yet I couldn't come up with a better word to fit it. So I want to share a verse with you. Listen, John 12:27. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour." You see, he wasn't looking forward to it, but he says, "That's why I came. I came to give my blood. I came to die so that you might have eternal life. Without my doing it, there was no possibility." So, you know, I don't like to say a duty at that time, and yet I couldn't come up with a better word. I looked in a synonyms. Yeah, I looked under synonyms to see if I could come up with a better word, and I couldn't. He knew without his shedding of the blood and dying for us that there was no hope for us. And he says, for this cause came I into this hour. You know, he did not shrink from his responsibility. And I come across this statement, you know, General Douglas MacArthur. I have a lot of respect for that man. During World War II, he was a great man. And here's what he said one time. I do not know the dignity of their, in making reference to all the soldiers that had died serving him and serving our country. He said this about them. I do not know the dignity of their birth, but I do know the glory of their death. They died unquestioning. They died uncomplaining, with faith in their hearts and on their lips, the hope that we would go on to victory. Always for them, duty, honor, country, always their blood and sweat and tears as they saw the way and the light. You know, he was praising those men for what they had done for us to make our country. You know what? We have the greatest country in the world. And I'm proud to be an American. You know, Jesus, he felt like it was his responsibility. And it was, because without him doing that, we had no hope. His death also shows determination or willpower. Or, if you can help me with another word with that, he was determined to die for us. Hebrews 12:2. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word endured means to abide patiently. The phrase, it was set before him. If you go back and read that verse, it was set before him. Where he was looking, it was right in the middle of where his sight was. It was set before him. It wasn't set off to the side where you had to look for it. It was set before him. That's what that verse is telling us. Set in his line of sight so it would be visible. Matthew 16:21-23. From that time forth, Jesus began to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter and he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. And you know, another thing that his blood shows us is the depth of his love. You know, there was a man, been married many years, had several kids. His wife left him and went and moved in with another man. He took over the responsibilities of a father, a mother, washed the clothes, cooked the food, cleaned the house. He did everything. After just a little bit over a year of living with that man, she decided she wanted to go home. She went and talked to her husband, and he welcomed her back. His neighbors and friends all said, you're a fool. What are you doing this for? And he looked at his friends, and he said, no matter what I do, my Savior always welcomes me back with open arms. How can I do anything less for my wife than what my Savior would have done for me? You know, the depth of love. That man loved his wife with all his heart, and he welcomed her back. And you know, that's the way Jesus is with us. You know, again, let me say it this way. I let my Savior down a lot. You know, I'm a failure. And I don't deserve anything except one thing. helps me to deserve it. And that's Jesus' blood purchased for me my pardon and all my failures. Hallelujah. You know, they're gone. God don't remember them. I do. He doesn't. He loves me no matter what I do. He wants the best for me. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He loves us. His blood proves His love to us. It proves God's love. You know that man writing with his blood on the seat cushion? He didn't do it to prove His love. However, it did prove His love. And Jesus did not die on the cross to prove His love for us. However, that act does prove His love for us. And you know, okay, how can I say this? I have family members that think their kids owe them. I have family members that will say, I gave birth to you. You owe me. You know something? My kids don't owe me nothing. They didn't ask to be brought into the world. I brought them into the world because I wanted to. Because of that, I owe them. And I don't want anyone to do anything for me because they owe me. I don't want my kids to give up their life because they owe me. I want them to do it because they love me. And you know, that's the thing about Jesus Christ. He didn't do it for me because He owes me. He did it for me because He loves me. And you know, that's what makes the difference. Hey, He loves me. You know, it's too bad I don't love Him as much as He loves me. I don't love Him as much as He loves me. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. John 3:16, for God so loved, and then it says, that He gave. There's proof right there of Jesus' love for us. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a requirement for the blood. But you know what that blood of the Old Testament did? It didn't take their sins away. You know what it did? It covered them up for a year. So every year, it wasn't like this, but let me do it for an illustration. Every year, it would get thinner and thinner and thinner until after a year it was gone. So they had to go back again and offer another blood sacrifice. It says, ordinances and commands. They had to sacrifice lambs, bulls, goats, rams, turtle doves. Hebrews 9:22 says, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. So every year they had to go back and have it removed for another year. That was a legal requirement. They had to go and do that. But you know, when Jesus' blood was shed, it was a permanent thing. It was no longer temporary. It was a permanent thing, and we no longer have to go back as a legal requirement and do it all over again. Do it all over again. Hallelujah. You know, I'm glad it's once and for all, and it's finished and done with, and I don't have to worry. You know what? How glad I am that I believe in eternal security and don't have to worry about that thing anymore. It was a legal requirement. And the Jews, they had to wait a long time to get what we get immediately. They had to wait throughout the whole Old Testament and keep on doing that legal requirement of offering sacrifices, bulls, rams, goats, turtle doves. until Jesus came. So it was a lengthy period of time that they had to wait. Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, that can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. It can't make them perfect. They had to do it every year, but it can't make them perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is remembrance again made of sins every year. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Jesus' blood is shed, and that wait is over. We don't have to wait. And it was a lasting payment. When Jesus came, the old system was fulfilled. That thing of once a year offering the sacrifices, when Jesus came, he fulfilled it. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Praise the Lord. It's a lasting payment. It's done, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. Amen. You know, his blood, it promises God's love. We have a promise that God loves us. You know, I'm going to say it. We've been married 57 years, baby. Or is it 56? I stopped counting. 56. Coming up on 27 in a few months. Hallelujah. You know what? We had a hard time getting together. And I don't understand. I was a sailor in a black Ford with a glass pack muffler on it. Now, some of you younger folks wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. But you know, that glass pack muffler, I think, spoke to her dad. And that black Ford and the white wall tires. You know, this guy thought he was very smart and mature, and I didn't make a big hit with her dad. But you know something? She stuck with me for 56 years. You know why she stuck with me? Because she loved me. You know, there's nothing like that love. You know, my daughter, I loved her very much. And I wouldn't bring her back if I could. But you know, the other day, I finished cleaning her house up, and I turned it over to the real estate agent. When I done that, I told my wife, I said, you know, honey, I kind of wish it wasn't done over there. I said, for 2 years, we took care of her, picked her up, and carried her around, even set her on a toilet stool, excuse me for saying it. But I did all that stuff for 2 years. I was taking care of her. And now all of a sudden, blam. Nothing else I can do for her. I told my wife, I said, I almost wasn't finished so I could go back over there and have something else to do for her because I loved her. You know, that's what love does for you. You want to do something for someone else because you love them. My wife, you know, I've told you this, but for years, I could not carry but 5 pounds. And we would go back to Africa with 6 or 8 suitcases weighing 72 pounds. And I couldn't pick up but 5. So here I am walking in front of her. She drags 8 72-pound suitcases behind her. Male chauvinist pig, right? You know? She did it for one reason. Because she loved me. God loves me so much. He does so much, and I do so little. His love brings a deeper relationship. His sacrifice draws us closer. The first epistle of John tells us, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." I like this. "That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Amen. Hallelujah. "He that spared not his own son," in Romans, "but delivered him up for us." He didn't spare his own son. "How shall we not with him also freely give unto us all things?" And then Ephesians, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." You know, that draws us closer to him. And it gives us a closer relationship. John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." He's made it all known to us. And it brings us to a profitable friendship. And again, sometimes I don't like the words they use, but you know us hillbillies, sometimes we have difficulty with words. 1 John 4:16, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Colossians 2, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." John 15, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." 2 Timothy, well, let me stop right there. You know, without me, you can do nothing. You know, I probably told you this, but let me share it again. Without the Lord. When I went to Kenya, went to language school, about 2/3 of the way through language school, I was asked to go down into the desert, down into Turkana. And the people down there, some of them don't wear clothes or anything else. And, you know, it's a very backward area. I went down there and I preached. Time, a couple of months passed. And I went over that message. Okay, I preached. Let me back up. I sat down and wrote my message out that I was going to give to that Turkana tribe. I wrote it out word for word. As time went on, a few months passed, and I learned more Swahili. I went over that message. And you know, it didn't make sense to me. Now, for an example, if you say nyanya, nyanya could be a tomato, or it could be grandmother. So, you know, you do not translate words in when you're going to another language. You have to translate the thought. And I'm sitting down there just learning the language, and I'm writing it out using the dictionary, and I'm writing my message out. And it didn't even make sense to me. Now, I told you all that because I wanted to share this with you. Do you know that morning when the invitation was given, 2 people were saved? They were saved. Okay, Now, this isn't true, but let me phrase it this way, okay? And I'm not saying this is why, but they were saved because I got up and read a message. No. Even though that message didn't make any sense, God used it to cause two people to be drawn to Him and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. It was not my message. And you know, that instance was good for me because it taught me, hey, God needs willing vessels. Are we willing to do what He wants us to do to fulfill His purpose in our life? It wasn't my preaching that morning that saved anybody because that message didn't even make sense to the person that read it. And yet two people were saved. But God can use us if we'll let Him. Without me, ye can do nothing. You know, I'm not a good preacher. You know, I don't follow all the rules of theology and stuff like that. I chase a lot of rabbits. I share too much personal experience. You know, make a list if you want to and give it to me and let my wife read it. I don't want to read it because you'll discourage me, okay? 2 Timothy, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. You know, we just need to do what we can to serve Him. I'll ask you this. I'm going back to Kenya in June. I'm going to spend a month over there. Doug asked me, he said, Dad, the church, my son Doug, he's in his 32nd year as a missionary back there now. He said, Dad, do you want to preach in the churches that you worked with? And I said, it don't matter to me if I preach or not. I said, I'm fine without preaching. He called me the other day and he said, Dad, he said, Tom, okay. Tom's a young man at the church in Juja. Man, he's done a great job. Doug told him, he said, Dad's coming to Kenya, and he wants to know if you want him to preach. Tom looked at Doug, your dad don't want to preach to us? Doug said, Dad, he was offended because he thought he was trying to get out of preaching. He wants you to. You know, I'll be honest with you, makes an old man feel good to have someone feel that way about you. But you know, those guys, they give up so much. You know, we had a preacher was in a bus accident. Betty and I went to see him. He was hooked up to a catheter. Catheter just went into a bedpan on the floor. And all it was just a cot with a piece of plywood and a little thin mattress on top of it in the hospital. We walked up to him, but to walk up to him, the bedpan on the floor had overflowed, so we had to walk, excuse me for saying it, we had to walk through the urine to get up beside his bed and hold his hand while we prayed for him. You know, that's some of the things they go to, and yet they're serving God because they've been saved. You know why they've been saved? Because you folks support missions. Because you have expressed a love toward people like them. That's why they have been saved. That's why they're on their way to heaven. You know, we need to do what we can. And no matter how big or how small, no matter how incapable, if that is the right word even, you may feel, if God has a job for you to do, do it. Say, Lord, you know, to Isaiah, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here, my Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord. Let me be the one to take the gospel. Thank you for coming today, and God bless you. Father, bless us as we finish up the Sunday school hour and prepare for the preaching service that follows. Lord, help us in the preaching service to worship you today with a worship that you deserve. Lord, you've loved us so much. You've done so much for us. Help us to consider, Lord, how much you've loved us. as we worship you today and give you the worship that you deserve in this service. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Test, 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 test.
Okay, good. My name is Rodney Houle. My wife, Kathy, I want to introduce my wife, Kathy. That's my, I tell you, I could not do that. We could not do this ministry without her, believe me. She has been a great help, just like she will be doing the clicking. So, but anyways, we are with Amazing Grace Mission. How many of you have heard of Amazing Grace Mission? Okay, there has been some. All right. So, anyways, Amazing Grace Mission, we want to present to you today something that we hope that your hearts will be touched in wanting to, with Amazing Grace Mission, we want local churches like this to take upon this ministry and do it yourself. And it's another great avenue to be able to reach lost souls for Christ. And so we need to do this real quick. Let me just... That should do it. Okay. It's going to... I want you to be able to... the people fair and to be able to see the booth and the people that we have brought back into the booth to be able to see the gospel and be able to have that chance to receive Christ as their Savior. Our sending church... Baptist Church in Chelsea, Michigan. We're from Michigan, and I got to tell you a little story. It was, felt right at home yesterday morning, 30 in the morning. I was awakened by some boys back here, and lo and behold, I looked out the window, and here's this about a 300-pound black bear was getting into your garbage container, but there was nothing in it, so he was pretty mad about that. So, and he stayed around for just a little bit, and then he walked back into the swamp there. So, but it was quite interesting, and it made us feel right back home in Michigan. So, but down south Michigan, we don't have the black bears like we do out in the Upper Peninsula and northern Michigan. But it was quite enjoyable. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 presenting this ministry, I will be preaching a message right in along presenting it. And so you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the Holy Spirit of God will touch your heart today about where you're at about lost souls. And this is what it's all about. And we have to really, local, independent, fundamental Baptist churches need to have another avenue, I do believe. Knocking on doors is wonderful. I do it. Visitations, great. Being able to pass out tracts It's great. Here's another great avenue to take upon yourselves and to be able to do this. And you can do it. And if I can do it, let me tell you, you don't know me personally, but you would, I would never have been able to do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, cutting in out. I don't know if it's me or what's happening, but anyways, but let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, that we can open up the truth, the final authority of your word, and to be able to see what you have in it for us, Lord, to make application of truth. Not just hear the truth, not just see the truth, but make application of truth that is given to us. Holy Spirit, we need you, for we can do nothing without you. So I pray everything said and done today give you preeminence, glory and honor, hide me behind the cross, and that we see you, Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, being our mediator, being our advocate, being our Savior. I pray, touch our hearts, all of us today, that we walk out these doors with something different in our hearts and fresh anew. In Jesus' name, for your glory, amen. I hope that after you leave today, or you come back tonight, that you'll stop back at the display there and just take a look. We'll be back there. If you have any questions, we'll answer them. It's a very, very simple way of proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to open with the 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to listen, though. I'll bring a word to you. Passion. The word passion. What does it mean? What's the definition of passion? I believe that it's a zealous desire. The word passion is zealous desire. I'm a sports guy. I played hockey. I have played baseball. I have played football. I have played basketball. I have played tennis. I have played all the sports that you can think of. I haven't delved into it. But here's the thing. I think about the Olympics. And I think about, am I able to walk around with this? I can't. Oh, I'm not going to. I'm usually a walker. Anyways, the Olympics. You think, now just think. How many of you watched the Olympics? I know you have. Okay. You watch these people, and what passion they have to win a gold, a silver, or a bronze. And they have so much passion all year long, they will drive themselves to the point of, some have ended up in the hospital. And I think of that. And I think about, okay, let's transfer that passion to what the Lord Jesus Christ had when he walked this earth in his ministry, what passion he had for the human race. What passion that drove him to the cross, did that not? To shed his blood and die to save your soul. What passion. What zealous desire he had to go and please the Father in everything that he did. Because the Father looked at him, and what did he say? In him I am well pleased. So we've got to realize, what about us now? In the Christian life, what kind of passion do you have after you have gotten saved? Now this is very, very important to remember. The Lord Jesus Christ not only did not save you just to escape hell.
He saved you that you, when you receive Him, the Holy Spirit of God indwelleth in you, and now the imparted righteousness of Jesus Christ liveth in you. Christ liveth in you and live His life out through you. But you know what happens? We don't have the passion for that. We don't have the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ coming out and living out through us. That's why we have a lot of apathetic Christians. That's why we have passiveness in the church. That's why we don't look at lost souls like we used to when you first got saved. That's gone away maybe. But the passion that you transfer, the passion that you have in all that you do in your life. I know some of you have got hobbies. Just like the lady that played the piano. The two ladies that played the piano today. To me, I do believe they had to practice, they had to have a passion, a zealous desire to do that, to go on and play. How beautiful they play. How about you? What kind of hobbies that you just, you have that passion? But let me just say, now I'm not scolding. I am not trying to put myself above you because I am in the same place. I was a fly fisherman. And I tie flies all the time. I even would go to the stream and put a screen in the water and make the stream in the bottom stir up so the nymphs would go into a screen and I would be able to take them home and try to match the hatch. That was a passion I had. To be able to go on the stream and go at 12 and 1 o'clock at night to try to go catch a brown trout. That was passion I had. And one night, I was on the stream, starry night, about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I looked up, and my line was out in that water. And said, he said to me, not a vocal voice, in my heart, said, "Rod, you're all done. You've caught all the trout you need to catch. You, and I'm a hunter, you've got all the deer that you need. You don't need that anymore, Rod. I need you. I want you." I walked out of the stream. And that's the last time I've ever been in the stream. Sold and gave away all my fly fishing stuff. I have a few things. But I haven't done it since. But see, now I have a new passion. I have a new zealous desire. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, how long do you usually go here? Till about, 11:30? Is that okay? Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to just read just a couple verses here, and we are going to look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." Now look at verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now I want to go back to verse 6. Why do we do that? Because he says, "Therefore, because we have the earnest of the Spirit, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." So, while you're here, you haven't went home to the Lord. He's not done with you yet. He wants to use you. You have a purpose in your... Say, "I have a purpose." You have a purpose, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a purpose that God has called us to do, and that is for the life of Jesus Christ to be lived out through us, to be light and to be salt. Because who lives in you? Christ liveth in us. So now, I want to just, Amazing Grace Mission was founded in 1983 by Dr. John Gardner, and he had a passion for lost souls. He was at the fair one day. He was walking around, and all of a sudden he goes, "Look at all these people. Look at all these lost souls." The Holy Spirit of God led him. This is what I can do. I can go to the fair, get a booth, and do something to bring people into the booth. So the Holy Spirit gave him the three doors. And he got it from somebody else, but that helped him to do these booths at the fairs. He had a passion for lost souls. This is what I want you to get today. A passion for lost souls. Every time you see those people out there at the fair, that's why we took pictures of people at the fair. Every person out there, are they saved or are they not saved? And the thing is, you have the answer. You have the answer. You wouldn't be sitting here today, I don't think. But if you're sitting here and you have not been born again, you need to be born again or you're not going to heaven.
Amen.
You need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, in 1983, he did that. And so over 35 years now, Amazing Grace has led almost over 1 million, have had 1 million professions of faith. In 35 years. Where are they all at? I don't know. The results are God's. We can sit here and argue all day, well, why aren't they in church? Well, where are they here? Why aren't they there? Well, you know what? I leave that with God. We give the gospel.
Amen.
We give the gospel. And then it's up to them. Now, the second thing is that we need the disciple. We need discipleship in the independent fundamental Baptist churches. That's why I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's why after the Highlands County Fair, we come back here and we do that Highlands County Fair. My wife and I are going to stay here for another week, and I pray you to let us, and to be able to go and follow up on these people and try to get them into church here. And to follow up and get them in a discipleship class. Maybe we can get a discipleship class, and you can mentor these people and to help them. This is what we need in America today. Foreign countries are sending missionaries over here now. They were in such a mess. Anyways, Dr. Gardner went home to be with the Lord July 8, 2009. His son is in charge now. And so Amazing Grace Mission, I don't know if you know it, it's in Dayton, Tennessee. And that's where the headquarters is at. And we stick by Proverbs 11:30. He that winneth souls is wise. And then we look at John 4:35, and that is, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We look at Acts 1:8. Now think of this. But ye shall receive power. If you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, it's hard for me to stand up here. I'm going to tell you. You have the power because the next verse says you will receive the Holy Ghost. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So if you're born again, you have the Holy Ghost within you. And you have power to be able to be light and to be salt for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a tremendous gift, and I'm going to show you what it is. You have the ability, because of the Holy Spirit, to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that is, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and all the unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Amazing Grace Mission is in 50 states. Just think, 50 states. We're in five continents. We prayerfully hope to be in seven continents. And we are in 13 countries. So we hope that you can realize how important this mission, this Amazing Grace Mission is. And I pray that you will see that you can be a part of it. Amazing Grace missionaries all over the world meet the lost and backslidden. You wouldn't believe, I could stand up here for 3 hours and tell you of the people that we have met, and that you would be amazed at what people believe. You'd be amazed what Christians are doing with their lives, so backslidden. And we help them. We bring them back in the booth and we open up the Word of God and we show them the truth. We go to fairs and festivals and farm shows, flea markets, open air markets, every public event that we can try to get. Now get this one. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to repeat it again probably. I even got two churches to go to Walmart. I went to Human Resources and I asked Human Resources, can we have a table with the three doors out in front of your building here and pass out Christian material? That's all I said. They said, well, sure. So I get out there and I put the three doors. I have tracks. Put the church banner. Ridge Road Baptist Church did this. Heritage Baptist Church in Picayune, Mississippi did it. We stand out in front of Walmart. You had a Walmart in Sebring? Probably. You can go to Human Resources and just say this. We would like to be able to set out in front of you. Now, Heritage Baptist had us had to have, it had to be a church function, like a youth activity where they were going to receive monies for their youth activity. Well, what we did at Heritage, we did that, but we just gave the cookies away. We didn't care. We just wanted to get the gospel out. So anyways, Heritage Baptist was able to do that in front of Walmart. You can do this anywhere, I do believe, as long as you go and speak it. Ask. All they can do is say no. So anyways, that's what we did at Walmart there. In 2 Corinthians, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Look at 2 Corinthians. This chapter is the motivations that Paul had to keep his focus upon the gospel. Look at in 2 Corinthians 5:11. Look at here. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. We have to realize, look at the banner back there. That banner, you look at it later, that banner shows the flames of hell and a cross going across it. I do believe Paul kept that message in mind. He believed that there was a true hell, and you know what's happened to the churches today? They don't preach on hell anymore. It's offensive. People, there's a real hell. And people are headed there. And people are being told things of how to escape it, and they're not going to because it's a lie. You know what's amazing to me? I want to walk. You know what's amazing to me? What's amazing to me is that we have the truth, and then we have the JWs going door to door more than what we are. I don't get that. I don't get that. I do believe that we have the supreme truth. We have the final authority of God's Word, of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have to realize we have the Holy Spirit of God within us, and we have this blessed truth that we can share with others. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you won somebody to Christ? Don't raise your hand. When was the last time you actually did this? Could I show you how to be saved? I'd love to be able to show you. When was the last time? Or have you ever? I'm just trying the Holy Spirit of God to touch your heart today. How can we, just like me, I find a really good fishing hole on that stream where I know there's some pretty big browns are at. And you think that I'm going to go and tell somebody else? No. But get this. Wouldn't it be something, though, if I saw somebody and I thought, this, you know, maybe a teenager, he's just starting out fly fishing, and I'd say, you know what? I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to show you a really, really good place to fish. That's what we ought to be with the truth of God's Word. He saved you from hell, and we can't share it with somebody? This church can. I know this church can, because I saw right on there, I saw soul winning. You're a soul winning church, and I hope that you take part always in that. Now I'd like to read this verse to you, Acts 17:17. Therefore disputed he, that's Paul, in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Where was he? In the market. Where? In the market. Yeah, Walmart. There you go. Now you're following me. Go to Walmart. Get out there. Put a door. Put a table out there with the doors and your sign, Independent Baptist Church, on the bottom. People coming by and invite them over. Say, hey, let me show you three things that God cannot do. Oh, I know God can do everything. Then hurry up and open that first door and say, see, you can't lie. Oh, then they come over. You're reeling them in. Reeling them in. Fly fishing would be like this. Yeah. Anyways, you can bring them into that and you can show them then God cannot change. Then the third door, God cannot let anybody into heaven unless they've been born again. And then you can say, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My name is Rodney. And I'd like to ask, what's your name? Well, I'd like to say, I'm from Amazing Grace Mission. And you know what? We go all over in the United States, to fairs and festivals all over, and we share the gospel with people. I'd like to draw your attention to this banner in the back. Isn't that some banner? Isn't that something? See the flames of hell? You see the cross going across? Let me ask you that question. Look it up there in the left-hand top-hand corner there. Are you 50, 75, or 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And then they look at me and I say, ooh. I say, now truthfully, let's really be serious for once in your life. What would you be today? Oh, around 75. Let me tell you something. This is what I tell them. I tell them four things. I say, wouldn't it be wonderful that you could leave today knowing that you're 100% sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? Wouldn't it be wonderful to know 100% sure that all your sins are forgiven? Wouldn't it be wonderful to know 100% sure that you're a child of God? Wouldn't it be wonderful to know 100% sure that you lay your head on your pillow tonight, know you'd be at peace with God because he's your Father, and to know you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing? That'd be a good thing. This is what we do. Look back here. See those tables back there? We have our Bibles with us. That's my wife, Kathy. We're back here. And what we do is we sit down for you for just a little while. And we show you, we open up God's Word, and we show you all those promises. And I promise you, if you do what God's Word says, you will walk away here with peace. Why don't you come on back and let me show you? If it's a lady, I'll say, why don't you let my wife show you? And a lot of them do. And a lot of them don't. Say, no, I don't have time. Okay, here's some literature I'd like to leave with you. You read that when you get home. Here's what I say. I say, well, you know, when you get home, find a quiet place. Lay down in your bed before you go to bed. Or sleep. And then I want you to read that pamphlet. And why don't you once in your lifetime. I don't say it that way. I say it this way. Why don't you once in your lifetime do something serious in your life? It means eternity. It's forever. So that's basically how I do it. Now, other guys do it differently. So anyways, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verses 14 and 15. Now look at here. Our Sunday school teacher, Brother Bob. It's a Bob, right? Brother Bob. He's talking about love today. Look at verse 14. And when you're reading it, I want you to think of a lost soul that you know. Here we go. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constraineth us. What does the word constrain mean? I think of those guys and those women in the Olympics. To compel, force, urge with irresistible power, with a power sufficient to produce the effect. And they're standing on that podium, and they won the gold medal, and they put it over them, and they look at it. But you know what? How long does that last for? How long does that last for? 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what will that gold medal? Some of them auction it off and they sell it, don't they? Right? Did it mean that much? At that time it did, but it wears off. But you know what? Serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that joy never goes away.
Right.
It does not go away. It stays with you. The love of Christ constraineth you. If you are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, say this with me. If you're saved, say this with me. Christ liveth in me.
Christ liveth in me.
And I don't mean to treat you like someone told me to, you treat us like kindergartners. No, I just want you to say that because sometimes that means it will do something in your heart. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise him. That Christ liveth in me. That's one of the mysteries. Paul said, I give you a mystery. Christ liveth in me. Get this now. Do you know that when you got saved, you died with Christ? You're dead with Christ, you're buried with Christ, and you're risen with Christ in newness of life.
Amen.
I'm going to give you another verse. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. You right there? We're just a little ways away. We'll get to the other one there in a minute. And all things are of God, who hath what? Reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ. You know what? There's deity of Jesus Christ right there. Isn't that something? I just had to put that in there. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What did he come? Oh, look what I just did. I am so sorry. I'm glad there's no dirt in there. My wife would have had to clean it up. No. The suitcase thing. Your wife, the suitcase thing. Anyways, here's the thing. You have a reconciling ministry. If you've been saved, you can't get out of this. If you have been born again, you have a reconciling ministry within you. I'm going to show you something. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now look at this. This is a tremendous verse. Tremendous verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But let's read verse 6 first. Let's go to 6, verse 6. All right? Are you all there?
Yeah.
Say amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now look at here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You have a treasure within you, and that treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the gospel. Have you let it out? Have you sat down by somebody and just introduced yourself and at the doctor's office or something, and you had a track with you and said, you know what? I'd like to share it. One time, you know what happened to me? I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'd just like to ask you, do you know if you died today, you go to heaven? Here's a track for you. Or there's someone in this church. There's someone in this church, I'm praying, that will take this three-door concept and tell the pastor, Pastor, you know what? I want to take this ministry and be able to go to Walmart, if we could, once a month for 2 hours out of the day. Is that much? That ain't much. But then a blueberry festival that's coming up. The bluegrass blueberry. I got on the internet and I looked up for festivals around this area, and there's a bluegrass blueberry festival. And you can take that and check on it. Check out a booth. Getting a booth there probably be around $35. Set up a booth like that right back there. What you've seen up here. And look at all those people that will come. There's a lot of people that come to these festivals and they're going by your booth because they're out, they're buying food, they're buying crafts, they're buying fruit, and they're coming by, and you can say, "Hey, let me show you three things God cannot do. How are you doing today? God bless you. Come on over here, let me show you. Let me see. No, you, we know God can do everything. Let me show you this first one. Look at that." And they go, "That's right, God can't lie." That's how you do it. You just got to be friendly. You can do that. How many here are friendly? Oh, there's something right there. How many of you are grumpy and mad? Oh, we do have some. I'll have to tell Pastor about them. You've got grumpy old men and women in here. No, I'm just teasing. Anyways, so we have a reconciliation ministry. What does reconciliation mean? To call back into union, to change from enmity to friendship, to change thoroughly, to restore friendship. Wow. Look what you got. Look what God saved me, the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for me, and now I've been reconciled. I'd love to have you be reconciled. I'd love to have you reconciled. Because I know what it means to be reconciled. I'd love to have you reconciled. And that's what we need to do. We've lost our love. We've lost our passion. We've lost it. This is what we need to do. Now look at, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 20. Now look at here. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." You see that? Are you there? Let's read that together. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." Stop there. Now, what I'm going to do, instead of the "we," you say "I." Ready? Or you say "I." Okay. "Now then, I am an ambassador for Christ." What's an ambassador? You know what an ambassador is. An ambassador is someone, one empowered as a representative to deliver message of another. What a great treasure we have. Like I mentioned to you, what a great treasure we have. Kathy, Amazing Grace Mission, we've distributed over millions of tracts. We have done Amazing Grace Mission as a whole, 370 events a year. Miss Kathy and I, we will do 11 fairs and festivals this year. We will help a couple other churches in Michigan to do this ministry at a fair. We will go there with them and help them. The Marlette County Fair, the National Cherry Festival in Michigan, we'll do the Jackson County Fair. We'll do the Venetian Festival up in Sheboygan, Michigan. We're helping churches do this. They're letting us come to present the ministry and then say, "Will you help us do this?" To get just another avenue to get lost souls saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, look at verse 9. Are you there? Verse 9. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." God's not done with you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. God wants to use you. If you're a retired pastor, a retired missionary, this is what you can do. You can join. Wait, I got a pamphlet back there that you can read about Amazing Grace Mission, and you can be able to do the Highlands County Fair next year. Join Amazing Grace, be the manager of it, and get your local church to go and do it. We have many retired pastors and missionaries that are in Amazing Grace Mission. But guess what? They're in their 80s, and they're going home to be with the Lord. We need workers. We have over 130 missionaries, and made up of pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and laymen. In 2 Corinthians 5:9, we have that we do labor for the Lord. I want you to look at verse 17 now of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see it there? Read it with me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have new eyes to see with. You have new ears to hear with. You have a new tongue to talk with. You have new feet to take you. You have new hands. For Christ. And you can do it. You can do it. Take this ministry on. Take this ministry on and do it for yourselves. Our work impacts everyone in the community. Everyone. Everyone in the community. Rich. The poor. The backslidden. There's many, many, many that need Christ. What can the local church do? The local church can pray, evangelize, and support. We need support. A lot of gas. A lot of gas. Now think of this one. I want you to look at verse 10. Look at verse 10 now. Paul kept this in mind, and I want you to keep it in mind. Watch here. Don't be caught standing in the ashes. Watch here. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things that are done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You are standing, listen. Brother, what's your first name?
Mike.
I
think you're
looking. Your wife is not going to be with you at the Bema seat of Christ. He will not be with you. You will not be with her. You will not be with her. You're going to stand alone at the Bema seat of Christ. Will you stand there, not won one soul to Christ? Think about that. And not have one soul to Christ. Maybe not even witnessed one person in all of your Christian life. That scares me to death. I would not want that. You never gave one tract to one person in your whole Christian life, and you stand at the Bema seat of Christ. And then the three doors. We have preached the three doors, and you maybe just shrugged it off. I don't know. I don't know hearts. Only God knows hearts. But this is where we're at. What are you going to do? You're going to stand at the Bema seat of Christ. And Paul, that motivated Paul because of the rewards. Is it wrong to have rewards? Hey, look what the Olympic guys and women do. Look what they run after. Look what they do to get a gold medal. What will our rewards be? Crowns? And then we throw them at the feet of Jesus. I tell you, we need to really think about that. Christianity is not what you can get out of God, but it is what God can get out of you. I'm going to say it again. Christianity is not what you can get out of God, but is what God can get out of you. Now, I know health is a very, very precious thing. We all agree with that. We desire health every day. It's so precious, we even pray for others, for health, to be healed, to feel better, and to go on with their lives, don't we? But do you pray more for lost souls Do you know that we think more of our physical being than we do our spiritual being? Think about how many times you pray for health for people and not lost souls for people. And then you will talk to a person and share with them what you are doing with your physical health to do what you're doing to make you feel better. But you won't tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? No. It doesn't. You will go on the internet and you will look about everything you can about health. You'll spend hours there looking how I can feel better. Where's the next site I can go to? Where's the next site I can go to? How, what can I do to eat or drink to feel better? What kind of exercise can I do to make me feel better? Or the weight I need to lose? Christ liveth in you. Souls are dying and going to hell. We need to really think about that. You have seen all the booth. I don't think I need to go. You got the idea about booth? Just by watching. See, it's not rocket science. You could see bringing people back into the booth and showing them God's plan of salvation. We have it all in our Bibles, all marked, ready to go, ready to go, ready to go. Showing these people of the final authority of God's Word of how to be saved. And you can click that in. You did, this is in Mobile. We had 121 professions of faith in Mobile, the Greater Gulf Air. You can keep clicking on those are the people that work. With us, the Werners, we had a double booth, and a man from the other another church paid $1,000 for those two booths, so we could have two booths. And he's not even with Amazing Grace Mission, but he paid for those booths, and then we worked it, and he did too. Go ahead, click that again. This was just at the Manatee County Fair. And that was our one booth there. And there they are. They're all over. Lost souls, they're all over. All over. So you have an idea of just about what we do. I was a Roman Catholic on May 22nd, 1983. I received the Lord Jesus Christ, and I left the Catholic Church. I left. I repented. I left. I was a very, very, my family is a very staunch Catholic, and there's only one other brother out of all of us that have gotten saved. My dad died a Catholic. My mama will die a Catholic. She's got Alzheimer's really, really bad. One day I read the whole plan of salvation to her. Mom, I said, I want you to hear something. And I sat in that chair right across from her, and I read a whole tract that took about 15 minutes. Read the whole thing. I said, Mama, what do you think about that? Oh, I know. So, what we need to do is make a check in our heart. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that we make a check in our heart and realize that I don't want to hit that one over. Thanks. I appreciate that. I do. You're watching out for me. We need to really do a check in our Christian life, in our walk, to really see where are we in presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife and I pray every night. This is what we're going to do until God takes us home. And hopefully we can keep walking and keep talking, and our physical health keeps us going. But I pray, church, Independent Baptist Church, I pray that you'll do something. Do something. You've got something so valuable in your heart. And I pray that you'll do. Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving me. Thank you for the great salvation in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary and the death on Calvary for the full atonement of our sins and the bodily resurrection for our justification. Lord, thank you for the gift of righteousness. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your own way. Do something in the hearts of people today. The Lord, to see the passion you had of going to the cross, we should have that passion for lost souls. Lord, we say that we love you. I hope it's not with lips, but I hope it's with our heart. I pray that today you received glory and honor and praise, Lord Jesus Christ, and was given the preeminence, that I decrease and you increase, Lord. Lord, this is my heart desire to see lost souls saved. And today, Lord, I pray if there is a person here. Is there a person here today? If I was to ask you that question, are you 50, 75, or 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Could you raise your hand and say 100%? I'd like to see somebody here. Are you only 50%? How about 75%? How about 100%? Are you 100%? Okay, most everybody, yes. All right. Well, my prayer is that you take the word of God and go and use this different avenue, just another avenue, to reach the lost. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I do have the Amazing Grace Mission Highlands County Fair schedule, and I have it. What I'll do, I don't know where I can put it or what. How we're going to do this. Maybe I'll put it back there by the booth there. And I have on this side Church Help, and then this will be Amazing Grace Mission missionaries on this side. So if you see a day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's from the 8th to the 16th. If you see, now this is what this is what it is. You can come and just watch for a half hour.